Blog Talk Radio.
God be the glory for the great, for the mighty things that he has done. We again would like to welcome you to the Crossroads broadcast. I've got Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, a panelist for today. Is none other than Dr. Gloria, a pastor who's going to be on our broadcast as a member of this broadcast. They're going to talk and speak about of marriage counseling, premarital counseling, the effects of premarital counseling. We want you to know in the past few weeks we've been talking about premarital counseling and premarital situation, and we find that it is so important that young people, elders, whatever age group it may be, that they get counseling, that they consider going to the pastor, going to a Christian counselor, somebody that's going to give them responsible advice, that we're going to advise them according to the Word of God, going to advise them with wisdom and give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So today we're going to start this broadcast with prayer, and we're going to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to come back. And I'm going to sum the portion that we were talking about on premarital counseling. And then Dr. Gloria Pastor, she's going to come in and she's going to talk about the effects of premarital counseling. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, praise you, magnify your name. Lord God, we thank you for all that you have done, all God that you're going to do, according to your word. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for giving us another opportunity, God, to first of all come before you, and then giving us that privilege, God, to go before your people. Lord, we ask you, God, to touch them, God, even now. Those that are in our radio audience, those that are the first time listening to this broadcast, first time listening, God, to the segment on premarital counseling, I pray, God, that you touch their heart. I pray, God, that you give them revelation, understanding as to what you want them to know and how important it is for one to be married, one to be, Father God, to know what marriage consists of and to have that love one for another and that commitment, God, that we should have first to you and to each other. Father, we just ask you, Lord God, to do it even now. And Father, we just praise you and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, in the past 2-3 weeks, we're talking about Andrea and Rich, and we talk about their life and how they met each other and how they thought that they were meant to get to be together forever. And we talk about how it was an attraction that they had one another for one another. But then we found out that it all really fell apart when Rich had received a word that his father had been hurt and he had to leave his love that he thought was his love. And he left Andrea. They separated. He had to go leave college and to take care of his father. And while they was apart, you know, imagine that when they first left, they just called on the phone, they talked to each other as many times as possible. But then by not seeing one another, they began to separate. They didn't feel that same feeling. It was something that they were grateful that they were able to experience, because I sometimes it's regretfully that his father was in an accident. But even through that, it gave them an opportunity to see whether, am I really in love with this woman, or am I really in love with this man? And even though he may be 1,000 miles away, is this person that I really want to be with the rest of their life? And so they found out that they were not really. They may have been fond of each other. They may have sexual attractions to one another, but this was not. They were not meant for each other. The writing had stopped. Telephone calls that they was making to each other, and finally they were separated. When you began to look at the situation with these two individuals, I would just like to go over a few things. The pastoral counseling forces us, I want you to listen to this, pastoral counseling really forces us to pause and consider the steps we were intent on taking, but with premarital counseling have prevented later problems, stopped us from marriage. And this is what happened to Andrea, and this is what happened to Rich. Psychologist Carl Rogers once gave a sobering perspective on marriage. He said, if 50 to 75% of four a General Motors cars completely fell apart within the early part of their life, times as an automobile, Rogers wrote that the public outcry would be overwhelming and drastically steps would be taken to correct the situation. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. But this happened to many marriages. Same scenario it happened to marriage, and hardly anyone raised a complaint. Divorce is frequently fewer than half of the marriage that persisted to be considered successful, and often couples seem unable or unwavering to correct the situation. You see how quick the General Motors, a Ford, or anyone, they have problems with their cars, you know, as they say, will be a big outcry. But no one, very few people initiate the effort, concern in order to correct marriages. And, you know, marriages was, this is God, a cause it gave us and brought men and women together. You know, in the Garden of Eve, he made Adam and Eve, and he brought these two individuals together for them to be together. And mind you, he did not bring Adam and Steve or Gloria and Jean, but he brought these two men, a man and a woman together. So that lets you see how God felt about marriage and who he wanted to marry one another. When we see that they was not wrong, and there being two individuals that loved, that they thought that they loved one another, because of love, you know, you have to find how, you have to weigh the matter and see whether or not is this the individual that you want to spend the rest of your life in. But the point was being made that if there were General Motors or Ford or anybody making cars and they weren't functioning or correcting, they need to correct them, that they were saying how it would be a big outcry among the people. What they're saying is, why isn't it? Should it not be an outcry? Should it not people be more concerned about men and women going into this precious, this sacred time of life in their time, in their in this time and in the time in the past, and be, and for them to be the husband and the wife that not just come together for a few months or a year or 2 years or 3 years. No, it is to be forever. Yes, I realize that there are times that for abuse, domestic violence, sometimes anger and rage come in, and people be at the point of one of them killing each other. But overall, you need to know who you are marrying, and it should be taught more. And that's why it's so important that we want to stress today that the couples, if you have decided to get married, before you do anything, you need to acknowledge God. You need to get before your pastor. You need to go before a Christian counselor, and you need to take this thing serious. Why? Because it is serious. It's a very serious point of life, a step in life that we should take. Divorce is frequently fewer than half of the marriage that persists to be considered successful, and often couples seem unable or unwilling to correct the situation. As we said, there are many reasons for the present instability of marriages, but one cause may be the lack of care with which many marriages are put together. Built primarily on, listen, these are the reasons why people marry sometimes each other. It is primarily built on sexual attraction, the desire to escape from a difficult home situation, the feeling that they have, feeling of love that they have for another, or some equally fleeing motive. Many marriages' relationships are too flimsy. I believe that you can agree with us today. Because if it was not, we would not have as many broken marriages, many separations. You know, we would not have that. But if people alive are just like, you know, you hear the stars, the movie stars, you know, they had four or five different husbands. They married them today in a month or two, or even less than that, they're divorced or they're separated. They can't stay together. So therefore, they're not taking this thing seriously. When a man finds a wife and finds a good thing and receives that favor from God, and therefore we need to take marriage more important. I can say today on last month, which was the June, on the 27th of last month, my husband and I have been married for 44 years. And I just believe that God was in this marriage, otherwise we would not be together. You know, we would not be husband and wife. You know, otherwise, if we didn't have the love of God within us and the love of God for each other, then we could not have stayed together for 44 years. But it was only God. It was only God that kept us. It was only God that made us love one another and have respect for one another. So we want you, and we say that to let you know that marriage can work. Marriage can be a beautiful thing. There could be a great partnership. You don't have to divorce. You don't have to be doing some of the things that people do. You know, it can work. But sometimes people are prepared for stress, and they go through and they are determined that, you know, I don't need this, and I'm not going to go through this. And so, therefore, they give up. They don't stay together. They think that, you know, this is not worth it. I didn't get married to go through stress and go through some of the things that you go through. Life is not going to be roses every day, but you have to be strong enough. You got to know that this is the partner that I want. This is the person that I stood at the altar with. These are the, if you have any children, that these are, this is the father of my husband and vice versa. And these are the children of my wife. And you got to find a purpose for wanting to really want to stay together. And not, you know, it should be even stronger than that. You know, you need to be in love. You need to respect one another. You know, sometimes I think that's a great problem, that people do not respect one another. You know, sometimes we can get into a great selfish situation in our life that all we think about is self, 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 and me, me, me. Well, that is not going to work in a marriage. Here we see that we need to try to work things out in our relationship. Here, when we began to look at, sometimes people get frustrated, and it comes devastating to them when things go the way seemingly wrong. You know, it could be just because the man is not working. And the person is not, that individual is not bringing the money in, or not having the money, or not being able to pay this and that. And then people, because they decided that, well, you know, some people say, well, I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to stay in a marriage that the man can't take care of me, and or I'm not going to stay in this marriage for whatever reason they come up with, which to me, that means that you don't think marriage is sacred. You don't think this marriage that you enter into is worth staying together for. That's the reason, a God given reason why, when fornication and adultery and things of that sort. But at the same time, we need to stay together. We need to be able to love one another. In modern society, especially in the West, they do not demand or seem to expect much from marriage. In many places, a marriage permit is easier to obtain than a driver's license. I think they should make it more difficult for people to get marriage license. It should not be so easy, because we're getting too many divorces. And even here in the state of Florida, that you have to have so many hours, at least 4 hours of marriage counseling before you get married. I think it should take up to a period of time that you clearly understand what you're getting ready to enter into. A prospective bride and groom may know nothing about a marriage. Often nobody says anything to the couple who seems to have made unwise decisions about mate selection. So if someone is not wise, somebody that won't say the thing, because a lot of times the bride, before they see sometimes a counselor, they go, they buy this beautiful gown and get the bride made, the groom get his bride, the men, the groomsmen for the wedding. They get all these people, they invited, and then they go and see their pastor. And then no matter what the pastor says, no matter what the Christian counselor says, well, we got all this, we're going to get married. You know, because there are things, we're talking about a little of that during this segment. We've talked about some things that you need to know before you enter into premarital, get ready to get married. Before you need to have a premarital counselor. You need to know about the finance. You need to know whether or not know exactly the status of someone, whether or not they got good credit, whether or not they paid bills, whether or not they've been in jail, whether or not they've been in prison, whether or not they can be a rapist, whether or not they can be an abuser, they can be a predator, they can be anything. But sometimes, because of the fact that they are so attractive to that flesh, that they know absolutely nothing, you know, don't know the other person's family, haven't met them, and know absolutely nothing. So therefore, when they're entering into the marriage, it's a miserable time for both parties. So therefore, I'm telling you that you need to know more about each other. Don't enter into a marriage of each individual. They should be saved. They should know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They should be able to love God and love God more than they love each other. So if they love God more than they love each other, then the marriage most likely going to work because they're not thinking about themselves. They are not lovers of themselves, but they love it of God. And that man is going to treat that woman like a queen. And that woman is going to treat and respect that man. There's so much involved in marriage. And we should not take it. We should not take it for granted. So much to think about. Even sex before marriage. That could be a disaster. That's a part, a lot of things that, you know, people don't want to hear. Some people so unwise, some so unholy that they'll tell people, you need to try her out or you need to try him out and see whether or not you're going to be compatible. That's wrong. That is wrong. But there are so many people that do and say so many things that you need someone with wisdom, knowledge, some understanding as to what you can do and what God will be pleased with. And when I'm talking, when I said, you know, the person could come out of prison or jail, well, you know what? There are some fine men that have paid the price, and they have entered into a life of wanting to be a life in Christ and a life that they've paid the penalty. I'm not saying everyone that's gone to prison is a bad choice, but at least you ought to know the man, or you ought to know that woman, whether or not she's been in there, or whether or not what kind of lifestyle that she has. Is she a woman that has a quick temper? Is she a person that deals in rage? Is she? You don't know. There are people that. Women beating up the men. Sometimes we're so worried about men beating on women, women would do the same thing to men. But that's why I'm saying you need to know more about your partner. Don't just get married just to be married. Don't marry nobody because you want to just to experience that flesh type thing. Don't do that. You need to spend more time. You need to pray and ask God to keep you, the both of you, and you can know what kind of mate you're going to have and what you're getting. The Word of God says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So don't buy the cake. Don't buy that wedding dress. Don't buy those beautiful shoes. Don't get that church. Before you go to God, before you present yourself, both of you, before God, and before you get some educated type of counseling, that you will know what to do. I hope that this has been an eye-opening for you. You know, we like to come straight forward. We like to tell you what marriage involves. These are the things that, some of the things that should be taught and should be discussed, you know, with a counselor. And things, some things should not be hidden from the man. Some things should not be hidden from that woman because, you know, sometimes it has a way of coming up. You know, if you was a prostitute, your life has been changed, and you've been born again, and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, your Savior, then you need to let that man know what you did in the past, you know, and let him make a decision as to whether or not, you know, he wants to marry you. Same thing. If that man, if he's done things in his life, she needs to know some things, what these things that he have done, because this can cause a marriage to be destroyed. If he's an alcoholic and like drinking, he's a person that get angry and like to fight when they're drinking. So many things involved. So this part of the premarital counseling, I have expressed to you today and what we've been talking about in the last 2 weeks, I hope has been a blessing. Now, what we're going to do now is go to Dr. Gloria Castor, and she's going to talk about the effects of premarital counseling. She's going to take the next portion of that. She's going to take however long it takes for her to talk to you about the effects of premarital counseling. And then after she comes, on next Monday, we're going to start a new segment on marital problems. That means after you done said that I do, after you have gone to the altar, after you have given her that ring and you are... and things come up in the marriage. I want you to stay tuned and get ready for that. But at this time, we're getting ready to talk about the effects of premarital counseling. We have Dr. Gloria Castor as she comes and talks to us. Dr. Castor?
Privilege. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to bring you the effects of premarital counseling, and I certainly thank God for you testifying to your 44 years. And on June 29th, my husband and I extended our vows for over 50 years. He was my childhood sweetheart, and certainly I can't say that things were all smooth, but when you make the vows, and you love each other, you learn how to work out the differences. You learn how to trust and love each other, and you don't both have the same temperament, but you learn how to come together as a team to make it happen. And the number one thing is putting God first. Always let him be first. And if you fall up under that, it will work out, because premarital counseling is usually a type of therapy that helps couples prepare for marriage. Now, premarital counseling can help ensure that you and your partner have a strong, healthy relationship, giving you a better chance for a stable and satisfying marriage. Now, premarital counseling can also help you identify weaknesses that could become bigger problems during marriage. Now, ask the question, does premarital counseling really improve marriages and reduce the incident of family disintegration and divorce? Now, our immediately tendencies may be to answer yes, but apart from the enthusiastic testimonies of some counselors and couples, there is a little conclusive research evidence to demonstrate that premarital counseling really does prevent later difficulties and contribute to the building of more stable marriages. To some extent, this lack of scientific data reflects the difficulties of trying to measure something as vague as the effectiveness of premarital counseling. Now, the little research that has been reported tends to have been done poorly, and if we look at Herbert Miles had did a study on 151 Christian couples, and for example, he concluded that premarital counseling was followed by good sexual adjustment in marriage. I don't know how you figured that one. But the questionnaire results was tabulated carefully. But the sample consists only of college students in one institution. So how can we know that it was the premarital counseling and not something else that contributed to the sexual happiness in marriage? Without a larger sample and a comparison control group who had no premarital counseling, how can we be sure that the counseling really made a difference? Now, marriage individuals often report that their premarital counseling was beneficial, but we cannot reach solid conclusions based on personal testimonies. Now, some couples are unhappy in spite of their premarital counseling, and others have good marriages even though they never had premarital counseling. So, and when we look at the fact of all of that, we know that premarital counseling is often provided by a licensed counselor or a Christian counselor, but also premarital counseling might be offered through religious institutions as well. In fact, some spiritual leaders require premarital counseling before conducting a marriage ceremony, as Dr. McCoy was stating. The state of Florida requires 4 hours. So we know that if that is the fact, we know that they must feel some way that will kind of help you to make some solid decisions on whether you want to be in this marriage. Because once you get into the marriage, it's supposed to be forever. Because it said in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. So that means if you took those vows, you hold to those vows. And if you don't want to get into that and then feel like, you know, don't want to hold on to that and then feel like when there come a tragedy or when someone gets sick. I have seen couples to where a wife or a husband have gotten sick, become bedridden, and they kind of step out on the marriage. But that's not the oath that they took. You're supposed to stay there until death, because it says until death do us part. So in those premarital counseling, you need to make sure that you really understand the effects of what is going to be in going through a marriage, because there are going to come times that you're going to have difficulties, and you have to be able to take courage and stand in faith and know that God is going to pull you out of it. Now, some research studies, as I said, I have compared one institution of method with another in an effect to determine if one approach is better than the other. But this doesn't consider if the institution contributes to better marriages. Now, David Mike, founder of the American Association of Marriage and Family and Therapy, reported that according to repeated studies, premarital counseling without follow-up after marriage does little good when a couple has problems at the start. So that means you need to get it straight before you get into it. And apparently premarital counseling is most effective with couples who are just to relatively good. Nobody has shown, however, that couples who participate in premarital counseling have better marriages and lower divorce rate. Sometimes you see couples who get married and 6 or 7 months down the road, that is not what they wanted. So either they had the premarital counseling and they did not look into it deeper, or they didn't have it and they didn't really care, they didn't really study, because once you get into marriage, there are things about the young man or the young woman that you didn't know about until you actually got married. We agree that with the pastor who described premarital counseling as futile? Not yet. During counseling, engaged couples may be confronted with problems that they had not noticed previously, as I said. And such knowledge leads some to work on problems, issues, or to get further counseling. As a result of the counseling, others may decide to break the engagement. They haven't even gotten into it yet, and that would be a good idea. If you get into your counseling and you see problems after you have the counseling and you decide not to go into it, that might be the best thing that you should have done. Because such knowledge, as a result of the counseling, and often those decide to break the marriage engagement, I would say that was a wise decision. Even though we lack indefinite data about the effectiveness of premarital counseling, we may assume that this type of guidance may help couples detect and avoid potential marriage trouble spots. And like I say, you don't all have the same temperament. Some might be a melancholy. Some just might be an outgoing person. And so you know that you have to know the personality of your spouse, I would say, even before you go into marriage, because that way you can know what to expect. If that person doesn't like to go and party and do all of that stuff, you already knew that before, and you're a person that party, so there must be something that the two of you would have to come together and work out and be able to, if you love each other enough, it'll work out. The whole purpose and idea is when you love each other, just like Jesus said himself, if you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. If you love each other, you'll keep your vows and you'll stay together. Even if the research support is never conclusive, the Christian counselor has a responsibility before God to help couples live fulfilled and God-pleasing lives. And when people find fulfillment in their marriage and families, they are better able to serve the Lord effectively, to raise and nurture their children in Christ-honoring ways. True marriage counseling is something much broader than a free pre-ceremonial meetings with a pastor. When viewed in the broader context, premarital counseling is a part of Christian discipleship. And I find that to be very heavy. Christian discipleship. That means that you work together as a partner. When we look at a disciple, he is a follower. He has come together to make it happen for God. He goes and he talks about the love that he has for God and stretches it out to other people. And that's what you have to do for one another. You're concerned about the discipleship of each other's life. And this broader education for marriage has not been studied empirically, but it has been mandated biblically. So to have premarital counseling, is it worth it or is it not? And I would answer the question of my opinion. It is very important because it does help you to sort out the differences of the two. And then once you do that, you could decide on, is this something I really want to get into? And it might pull out some dishonesty that might be in the young man or the young lady that you didn't know, and you found that out when you went to counseling. So premarital counseling is really something that you really should come together, and that way, before you get into the marriage, you can work out the differences possibly before you get into the marriage. And if you didn't, then that would make a decision that maybe it's not time for it yet. Or, you know, you might can decide that you might want to wait a while and you might want to maybe just go back to courtship before you get married. There are a lot of different things can come out of what you might find in premarital counseling. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Glory Castor today for giving us insight on the effect of premarital counseling And we want you to know that we're certainly going to be praying, and even before this broadcast, we're going to lift you up before the Most High God, those that are anticipating marriage or thinking about getting married. If you're a young woman, or you don't even, you could maybe be in your middle age, or you can, whatever age that you may be, if you're considering marriage, in every age, it really matters as to how you face marriage. You could be a woman that you may be in your 60s, and first time you're getting married, you need a marriage counselor. It doesn't matter the age. You need someone to talk to you. So today we just want to thank God for all of our listeners here on the Crossroad broadcast. We're going to ask Dr. Gloria Castor to pray for the young couples and those that are anticipating a marriage. And then we're going to ask her to pray. You know, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is a great opportunity for you to receive of God, to get saved, to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you for your sin, both of you. And we want to do that before the end of this broadcast. So at this time, we're going to have Dr. Gloria Castor come, and she is going to pray for you at this time. Dr. Castor.
Eternal God, our Father, we come in no other way but to give honor, glory, and praises and thanks unto your name. We come acknowledging the fact that you are Lord and that you are in control. We come acknowledging the fact that without you, we can do nothing. We come acknowledging the fact that within you that we live, move, and have our being. And we come acknowledging the fact that your word has said that if we trust you with all of our hearts and lean not toward our own understanding, and in all of our ways, if we acknowledge you, that you shall direct our path. So we come in faith of your word today. We repent and ask your forgiveness for anything we've said or done that has not been pleasing to you. Father, we ask your forgiveness. And now, Father, we know that your word is truth. And we know from the very beginning when you set up the first institution of marriage in the Garden of Eden, we know, God, that it was a serious matter for you to put two people together. You put male and female together, that they would come together and be one. And in that oneness, Lord, there are so many things that we share together. We become friends. We become partners. And we become love, have a love for one another as we connect together. We connect in you, Lord, and put in our trust to know that you made us that oneness. So we pray now for every couple that is engaged, God, that they would realize the importance of, first of all, seeking you first, your kingdom and your righteousness. Then all other things would be added unto them, and seeking direction, God, in what they need before they go into a marriage, and they go into that marriage and don't go in with the right spirit, the right attitude, don't go in by putting you first and foremost. You said a house that is not built on you will not stand. So let them understand, God, when they go into marriage, they build that marriage on you. And then that marriage will be solid and it will stand. Even though they go through the storms, the disappointments, they have breakdowns, they have transmissions out, anything that they may have, they have financial problems, anything that they may have, they seek your guidance and your direction and ask you to show them what to do. And, Father, we pray that you cover them today. We pray that you give them the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge to seek your guidance and your direction in whatever they need to do. And now, Father, we come to say that we believe that you've heard us. And with that, we know we have the petition that we've lifted up to every engaged couple out there. But we call forth the marriage couples as well, Lord. Some might be going through some problems right now. Let them understand. Pre-marriage counseling is for couples who are getting married, but there is counseling, marriage counseling as well, because sometimes you might be going through some problems, and if you and your spouse sit down with a marriage counselor, the three of you the four of you, God first, can come together and work it out, because God meant for you to stand together. He meant for you to be together. That's why he said what God has joined together. So if you believe that God has joined you together, you can go through thick and thin, and you will stay together. So we ask you to bless them now. We ask you to bring them into the awareness that they need. That if they need counseling in any form or fashion, whether pre-marriage or marriage, let them understand that they can get the proper care through a Christian counselor or their pastor or whoever that is in God and that can give them spiritual guidance. And now, Father, we ask that if there's anybody there, out there that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, because Romans 10:9-10 said if you confess that Jesus is Lord and if you believe within your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. So if there's anyone out there who want Jesus Christ to come into their life and be their Lord and their Savior, we pray right now that you repeat after me. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross and that he was resurrected on the third day. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe within your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. So if you did that today and that's your first time doing that, you are saved. And we ask you to connect to some church or call us and let us know that you have confessed Jesus as Lord today, and we will get a church for you and guide you somewhere, because you do need to connect so you can stay strong. So and we ask that the Holy Spirit will come in and guide and keep you through, in Jesus' name, amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Castor. Again, we want to thank you for joining us once again on the Crossroads broadcast. Please tune in on next Monday at the very same time. May Lord God bless and keep you, is our prayer. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy along with Dr. Gloria Castor. We bless the Lord for you, and certainly we want you to give God your all in all. And the only way you can do that is to let him be your Lord and Savior, to lead God and direct you in each and every decision that you make in life. God bless you.
God bless.